At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Bring in Daryl. Let's bring in Danny Cunningham. Danny Cunningham on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Danny's from the Locked On Cavs podcast, Inside Shot on Substack, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan. Danny, good morning to you. Are the Cavs in trouble?
Good morning. I don't think so quite yet.
Good.
I think that there were a lot of things that went wrong last night. I think some of those things are fixable. I think some of those things are, you know, they just need to play better. They didn't shoot the basketball well. They gave up far too many open looks from beyond the arc. And I think that, you know, last night was an outlier, not in the fact that the Cavs had a poor shooting game, because that's going to happen, not in the fact that the Pacers had a great shooting game, but the fact that both of those things happened on the same night, I think, is really what the outlier is here. And obviously not an ideal thing for this team to be down one game to nothing after game one, but listen, they won 64 games. They're more than capable of winning the next four and winning this series in five games. I wouldn't necessarily expect that at this point, but they're a really good team. And I think all year when they've had their backs against the wall in whatever fashion they have, they've responded well for the most part. And I would expect that to be the same right now.
Danny, I echo the sentiments of everything you just said, but when I throw in this next sentence, seems like they are a little concerned about Darius Garland and his injury. What does that do to how you feel about the rest of the series?
It certainly changes things. When Kenny Atkinson told us on Saturday that Garland didn't practice Saturday, but went through a full contact, high intensity day on Friday at practice, I thought, okay, he's going to be good to go. And, you know, my understanding coming out of the Miami series is that they were not overly concerned about this injury. So I do think it is something that at the very least raises an eyebrow that he did not play in game number one. And I thought they really missed him. And I thought it was silly that there was this conversation going on about the Cavs being better because they beat a Miami team by 92 points that already had their vacation destinations picked out by the time the Cavs even got to South Beach for game three. I thought it was silly that the conversation was, oh, the Cavs are better without Darius Garland. In the same game, same way a one-game sample size doesn't prove things in the other direction, but I thought they really missed him last night. The creation that he has offensively, the shot-making, being another elite three-point shooter on a night where nobody for the Cavs could make a three-point shot, I thought they really missed him in that game. I don't know if they win it without him, but you certainly feel better about their chances if they would have had him.
We got Danny Cunningham joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So what do you expect for game two? How much usage does he get in? How do you take this?
For Garland or for the Cavs?
For Garland.
I think at this point, if he does not play, you become very, very concerned. I would expect him to be able to play. I would expect him to be able to play through this at this point. And if he is 100%, which nobody's 100% at this point in the playoffs. And I understand that, and I think everybody understands that. But I just think that they need him to maybe not play his full minutes load, but he needs to be able to give them something. Like, I thought Ty Jerome was okay last night, But if Ty Jerome's taking 20 shots in a playoff game, you're probably not in the best place. And I just think that they need more of what Darius Garland provides. If he's able to play, maybe it's not 35 minutes, but 25 minutes of Darius Garland would have been a big boost for them last night.
Yeah, Danny, one of my issues is, all right, you know Donovan's not going to shoot like that again, although he's been in a kind of a lengthy slump now from three, but it's not going to be 1 for 11. And, you know, he had a few right around the rim, one back iron. So I'm surprised how many blocks, how many times the Cavs got their three-point shot blocked yesterday. It just shows you a little more length here that you're dealing with. With all that said, 50 attempts from Mitchell and Ty for only 54 points. That's the height of inefficiency. And what also is happening when your guards are taking all those shots means other guys aren't getting in rhythm. So what is the big adjustment you think you might see from game one to game two?
I think one of the big adjustments would be to get Evan Mobley a little bit more involved. He was, I mean, Jared Allen was efficient too. I think he went 6 of 7, but I'm just not sure that this is a big Jared Allen series. I think this needs to be a much bigger Evan Mobley series. I think that if Darius Garland does not play, there's no way Evan Mobley should not at least be second in shot attempts on this team. I would expect that to be the case in game two. I think we'll see a little bit less Ty Jerome, a little bit more Evan Mobley. And I do think, actually, this is going to sound crazy because of how bad they shot the ball. I think they need to shoot a few more three-pointers. They only took 38 attempts, which is not where they want to be. They want to be closer to 45. It's what their average was in the postseason, or in the regular season. Obviously, the game, the pace slows down a little bit in the regular season or in the postseason, even when you are facing a team like Indy that wants to run up and down the floor. There were still fewer possessions in last night's game than there were a regular season Cavs game and a regular season Pacers game too. But I think that they need to take a few more three-pointers. Like the fact that they went 9 of 38 and it wasn't their lowest percentage game was because the attempts were too low and they weren't doing a good enough job of generating those looks. So I think it's a combination of getting Evan Mobley more involved and getting other guys a little bit more involved too as far as three-point opportunities go.
Did they do everything that you might have been concerned about the Pacers? Did they do everything that you would be concerned about in game one? Is there like anything left that they could possibly bring out that you could see in this postseason?
I think that they're going to continue to push the tempo the way they did in the first quarter. And I thought the Cavs, like, it took them a little while to adjust to that tempo. And that was the thing I went into this series saying. The Cavs need to control the pace. Like, when they would struggle throughout the season, and they won 64 games, so it's not like they struggled a ton. But even in some games that they won against lesser teams, but it didn't always look pretty, they allowed their opponent to dictate the tempo at which the game was played. And I thought that in the first quarter, they allowed Indy to dictate the tempo, and that really set the tone for this game. And then in quarters 2, 3, and 4, the Cavs did a better job. They just couldn't really hit a shot from the outside. So I think that the Pacers are going to try and really, really push that in game two. But I also wonder, okay, you know, they shot over 50% from three. Andrew Nembhard, who has been, to his credit, a good shooter in the postseason, made 5 threes, which he has only done in one other game in his entire career. T.J. McConnell hit a three, who's a 30% shooter that doesn't shoot threes. Like, there was a lot of variance stuff that I think Cavs look at and say, okay, what are the chances that that happens again? And that's not a thing you love to say, right? Like that.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not a plan, but I also think that's kind of the reality of the situation that we're in. I don't know that the Pacers are going to change a ton. I would imagine they want to play as physical as they did last night, and I think the Cavs need to step up the physicality. But I think the thing is they're going to want to get out and run a little bit more than they did last night.
Is there any chance the Cavaliers were caught a little bit off guard because they didn't take them seriously or as serious as they should? Because I was very surprised to hear them in postgame talking about pace, when that's all we were talking about all week. How could we be talking about it, but they weren't necessarily ready for it?
No, because I think it's a really, really difficult thing to simulate in practice. And it was a thing that we were talking about, partially because at practice last week, every time, like everyone that spoke, whether it was Kenny Atkinson or a member of the team, everyone that spoke after practice last week before this series was asked some version of the question, so what do you think about the Pacers? And all of them, the very first thing they said was the pace they play at. So the Cavs were very aware of that. It's a really difficult thing to simulate until you see it. And going from a Miami team that plays slow to a week off before this series and then right into game action where the Pacers are obviously going to be able to get to their pace easier because it's what they do, and having to find a way to match that, I think was a struggle. I thought the Cavs adjusted well, and then they kind of got a little bit unlucky in the second half with it. But I don't think that it was a lack of focus or a lack of, you know, respect for the Pacers. I think it's a really, really difficult thing to simulate because you only have so many NBA caliber players in your program that can do that in practice. And you are at times relying on coaches to be scout team guys. And let's face it, coaches are coaches because they're not great NBA players anymore. And you can't really simulate that type of speed from guys that are not NBA players.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. So how do I get better minutes out of Isaac Okoro? Everybody's complaining about him last night. Yo, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't know that you do. Like, I thought he did a fine job defensively. But, guys, like, he's not going to be guarded. Go back and watch the 2 3-pointers that he took in this game. The one, Pascal Siakam, like, kind of threw his hand up in the air because he felt like Rick Carlisle would have yelled at him if he didn't pretend to close out. And then the other one, Andrew Nembhard is the only guy on that side of the floor. And he's just kind of like, okay, whatever, and didn't even run at Okoro. Like, if he cannot make those shots, and that second one came with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter and the Cavs down by two, like it was a really big shot and the Cavs did a good job to generate a really good shot there, but they had the wrong guy taking it. Like that is a thing that if Kenny's going to make an adjustment about the rotation and, you know, Darius potentially coming back certainly complicates this a little bit, but I think Isaac Okoro is the one that I don't know if there's a place for him in this series. He's a really good defender, but the Cavs need to have five guys on the floor that are going to be respected and guarded at all times by the Pacers in the series. And Okoro's just not going to be that.
Danny, last night there were some notable instances where some Cavs were on the floor in stark contrast between Series 1, which I called the least physical series in the NBA playoffs, in the first round. So obviously, they were talking about it afterwards. Were they frustrated? Did they think any of it was dirty? Obviously, they didn't get the call with DeAndre Hunter even after the review. They were mad about that.
They were, I think, a little bit frustrated, not necessarily at the amount of physicality. Like I think they have to adjust to that, and I think they'll be fine there. And I actually do think that if the series is allowed to be played as physical as it was last night, that's something that would benefit the Cavs in the long run rather than benefit the Pacers in the long run. That said, I think there was frustration that the DeAndre Hunter call was not overturned considering Benedict Mathurin. Yeah, got all ball up top, but he got him in like four other places before he got to the
basketball. Why wasn't it overturned?
I have no idea. I could not believe that call. I couldn't believe Jared Allen didn't get a foul call on the dunk over Miles Turner when Miles Turner two-hand extend shoved him in the chest. I could not believe a couple of those calls. And like those things are not called. And the one where Pascal Siakam missed a dunk and Evan Mobley like had his hand on his lower back, and that's a foul. And they called it a foul. But to call that a foul and then to not call the other things a foul, I think the Cavs have a little bit of a reason to be frustrated with how the game was called with those specific things. But I do think overall, if they're allowed to be as physical as last night's game was, I think the Cavs will up the physicality. And I think that'll be a thing that benefits them rather than the Pacers.
Do you think there's a chance, especially considering how many references to physicality that there were? Clearly, Atkinson hammered that home in the postgame speech to his team privately. Do you think we're going to see now the inverse in game two? Do you think you're going to see a Cavs team that normally doesn't foul a ton? It's not like Evan Mobley is in foul trouble all that often. Do you think you could see the Cavs looking a lot more physical, almost an overreaction of sorts?
I think if there's an overreaction that they make, that would probably be the one. I do think that we could see them be much more physical. And listen, a lot of this is going to depend on when the roughly 9 o'clock tomorrow morning when the officiating crew gets announced. Like, different guys call games in different ways. Last night's crew didn't want to call a ton. There were not a lot of free throws in that game. It could be very different when we get to Tuesday night in game two. Like, it's going to depend there. And that's part of the thing. I guess it can be kind of frustrating for everybody is that at this time of year, different games are going to be called different ways by different officials. And last night, I think, was a result of that. It's not necessarily a good or bad thing. It's just a different thing. And I thought that the Cavs didn't necessarily rise to the level of physicality the Pacers played with. I thought that hurt them, and I would be surprised if that happens again in this series.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. It seems like nobody wants to call anything in this postseason. I know we barely noticed because it wasn't a competitive series against Miami, but that was one of the things that people were talking about. It's like, my God, there's a lot of letting them go ahead and play in this postseason with some of the other series going on.
Yeah, there has been. And last night, I think, took that to another level with some of those calls that weren't made that certainly impacted the Cavs. And listen, there were calls that the Pacers probably feel like they should have gotten to. This is a thing that goes both ways. It's never just, oh, the Cavs, you know, had three calls that didn't go their way, and that's why they lost their game. I'm sure the Pacers are mad that Tyrese Halliburton didn't get a foul call when he attempted a runner from the left wing and DeAndre Hunter had his hand on his hip. Like, these things do cut both ways. It's just that I think the most notable ones were the ones that impacted the Cavs and came in pretty big parts of this game.
Danny Cunningham, Inside Shot on Substack, Lock on Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, 92.3 The Fan. Danny, we thank you very much for the time. All the best.
Anytime, guys.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Studios.